Greetings. This is James Gillen with As You Wish Talk Radio. I'm your host, and we've got another great show. We've got a few announcements first. We've got the eSETI conference, which I'm in the middle of right now, which is why this is pre-recorded. And that's June 26th to the 30th. So you could get in on the last day, possibly, if you wanted to check into the ranch here. We're going to have Laura Eisenhower and Dr. Dream in July, and Michael Tellinger on the 22nd of August. And we're going to have the ambassador training at eSETI August 29th through the 31st, and another one on the in September 19th and the 21st. So those are the upcoming events. And the best way to get information on this is to go to send an email to eSETIreservations@gmail.com. Again, that's eSETIreservations@gmail.com. And these aren't up on the site, so these are all private invitation events. So it's very important to send an email to eSETIreservations@gmail.com if you want to get more information about these events and the times, locations, and any other information. There's a lot going on right now on the planet. I'm going to skip some of that just so we can get to our guests, because we have a major event happening. We have a star visitor sanctuary that's opening up on the Big Island, which is something that I've always wanted to see. A lot of places where these star visitors or star nations could actually interact with people, you know, without being shot at or, or, you know, baptized or judged or whatever. You know, we could just greet them how they are. But we've got two spokesmen for the Star Visitor Sanctuary. We've got Gary Hoffield and Michael Weeks. And so without any further ado, welcome to the show. Are you with us?
We're ready.
Great. Well, anyway, could you tell me basically how this this got started, the Star Visitor Sanctuary? I want to say Star Nation, because I've been saying Star Nation for so many years. It you know, I have to kind of catch myself. But how did this first, the inception of this, or how did this first get going?
Well, Uncle Robert, who's a noble in the Hawaiian government and a noted kupuna of the area here, I'm the island coordinator for the Hawaiian government. So when a noble or rep wants to do something, a project or something like that, they contact me and I set up the protocol, the announcements, whatever it takes to make everything happen for them. So Uncle Robert asked me to initiate this, and back in January, I took it to our Mauna Kea Kanawai, which is our legislative session, and made an announcement for Uncle Robert that this is something that he wanted to do, to establish contact with, he calls them our space brothers and sisters, with our space mm-hmm. brothers and sisters, to let the Hawaiians be the ones that welcome them to Earth and be the proper ambassadors to treat them with the aloha and the respect that they deserve.
Well, I can't think of a better place for that to happen, and especially with the aloha spirit there. The it's interesting. I know I've worked with several elders, and I know it's part of their belief systems that they actually came from the Pleiades systems. You know, a lot of them will point up at the Pleiades and say those are ancestors. And the same thing with the Cherokee Nation and a lot of the other indigenous people around the world. You have to go to the Philippines, talk to the shamans over there, and a lot of places they all seem to be pointing up towards the Pleiades or some other star where they said this is where their origins, you know, first, you know, they came from the stars basically before they came to Earth. Have you heard anything about that, or have they shared any information with you concerning that?
Yeah, it's very interesting. Because our Hawaiian people, our Hawaiian history says the same thing. You know, a lot of the indigenous peoples, like you said, they point up and say, this where we're from. And in our teachings in the Hawaiian Islands, in our history, that's what's been passed down for generations is, you know, we're not stagnant on Earth here. We came from some higher powers. And, you know, today's day and age, you know, with mainstream, with TV, with, you know, all these different stuff pulling you here and there, we don't know where we're from. But if we listen to the past history, we listen to the stories, and we look to the roots, we can find out where we're from and what we're doing here. So, yeah, that's very interesting that a lot of the indigenous cultures, they do look up and say, that's our family tree.
Mm-hmm. I know. It goes the same with the massive temples that were left behind. If you talk to any of the indigenous people there, and you ask them who built these temples, you know, they always point to the sky, you know, I know if you get into the politics side of it, you know, you go to Egypt, they want to take credit, you know, the people of Egypt for building the pyramids, but basically the technology and the idea and everything else seem to be coming from a much higher origin.
Yeah, and you notice in Hawaii we got the ahu or the heiau, and you know, some of them they're shaped like pyramids without a top, you know, just flat, low to the mm-hmm. ground pads or what do you call them, rock structures. So, you know, mm-hmm. and a lot of our ahu or our low pyramids, they coincide with pyramids around the world where, you know, the degrees on Earth are the same and, you know, right across each other on Earth. So there's some kind of connection there. I don't know what the connection is, but I'm bound to find out sooner or later.
Yeah. Well, you know what I found out is interesting, that all the pyramids are connected with these underground tunnels. And so at one time they were definitely all connected. And on top of that, I know there's some buried pyramids there on the Big Island. I'm not sure exactly where they are. I know some people that went there, and it's all cordoned off. You can't get into that area. It's pretty high security for some reason. But there is an area where there actually are some pyramids that are actually buried there on Big Island.
Yeah, that's... they're kind of using the excuse to cordon them off because there's a big natural spring there that probably sits on the largest aquifer on the planet. It certainly is the largest aquifer out here. And so they use mm-hmm. the security that they need to keep that aquifer pure as the excuse to cover that up. But I know lots of people that believe those are pyramids and the locations are accurate, and it doesn't take much of an imagination to look at those mountains and realize that they could easily be just grass-covered pyramids.
Mm-hmm. That'd be interesting to go inside one of those, you know, if they haven't already, and seeing, you know, what's in them. I think it's amazing. I was just on Maui. Usually I go to the gatherings there with Michael Sala. You know, he has his conferences, and I've spoken over there a couple of times. But over on Maui, I spent a lot of time in Maui. And I think this year I might come over to the Big Island and check out your center. But is the center now, you're in just groundbreaking process right now, is that correct? Or how far along are you with the project?
Well, we have a section of land, about 500 acres of lava that filled in Kalapana Bay back in 1983. So now there's land that wasn't there before. Mm-hmm. And the Hawaiian government has claimed that land and actually done public notice and all the legal documents to declare that that is our land, and we intend to use it for Hawaiian purposes. And back in January 17th, 2013, we dedicated that land and officially accepted it into the Hawaiian Kingdom. And actually we gave 20,000 square foot leaseholds to some Hawaiian families to build on in the future. And this the section that we chose as a dedication for the Star Visitor Sanctuary, which is, we don't really expect a spaceship to come land on this piece of property right here, at least not in that exact location. It's more or less a dedicated site just to make it some intent out there that we, you know, make a declaration that we believe that they could come. And it's a convenient location. In fact, eventually when this subdivision goes in, it'll be in kind of like a center cul-de-sac or turnaround in the subdivision. So it'll be kind of like a county park one day.
Mm-hmm. And, well, I think when we get our consciousness right, they will definitely come down if we can maintain, you know, the right consciousness for them to walk among us. But, you know, that might take a little while, you know, to get that together. But the I wouldn't be surprised, you know, that old saying, you know, if you build it, they will come. We've had experiences here that are just amazing. We've got incredible footage of almost every kind of ship you can think of flying over the ranch here, and they've been coming in really low, and they're getting closer and closer now. So things are, you know, kind of building up to a big crescendo. So, you know, who knows if they have a safe, secure place they can go and land and interact with the people in a loving way. You know, I could see how that could happen very easily.
Yeah, well, and really, if you wanted to visit Earth and you had all the choices that there were, it kind of makes sense to come to Hawaii. You know,
yeah.
And out there on the lava flow, there's easy access to the ocean, and not very many people live out there. So as far as being a nuisance or a bother or making noise or the lights waking someone up at night, you know, I'm saying this with a little humor, of course. Mm-hmm. It's a pretty good location for that.
Yeah, it would be good to have a kind of a secure place where everybody's on the same page, you know, so they're not going to, you don't have somebody flipping out, you know, and going off on some religious tangent or something else to, you know, to stop any kind of an interface going on. But the one thing about the that location, you know, I haven't seen that location. Is it just a lava field, or is there actually dirt there? Can you grow anything on it, or what it actually does it look like?
Well, it's newly formed lava flats, not exactly flat. You know, you got trenches and hills,
yeah,
and high spots and low spots and dips and ravines,
uh-huh,
and but the lava actually covered the ocean, the bay, Kalapana Bay, Kaimu Bay. So
uh-huh,
it's not exactly a plain flat as you would imagine, just wide open flats, but you know, relatively flat with dips and high spots, and you know, get some nice little leveled off places. So we picked a nice, you know, mound, a leveled mound, not low, but more on a higher side. And yeah, so you know, you can't just drive a car at 60 miles an hour going through that flat. You can't even drive a car actually, but you know, with a SUV you can get through. And so since it's newly formed, you know, there's no dirt, there's no pockets of water yet, but we can grow things, you know, that's, we can bring in mulch and we can bring in cinder and gravel and stuff. So it will be planted, eventually it will be planted with fruit trees and edibles and even some flowers and stuff. But,
great.
Yeah, just if you ever seen lava flats before, it's just a typical lava flat. It's just a typical dried up magma.
Yeah. Yeah, we have a lot of lava here. I'm sitting at the base of Mount Adams here, which is basically a volcano, and they have the lava fields and the goat rocks, they call them, and places like that. And some of them have huge cracks in them. I mean, you can't really traverse them. You have to stop and walk around, try to find a way to get over. Some of the cracks are pretty big. But it sounds like an interesting project that you have going on there. It might be good to have something that's out of the way, that's not going to be easy access to, you know, so you can have contact. I know here's a lot of the lava fields here. There's no way you can get any kind of a vehicle over them, you know, without bringing it back in pieces. But you know, it sounds like you've got a little flatter area, a little better space. But going back to the origin of this, so basically it's kind of a, you know, you have a place and then you have a vision to go along with it. The guidance for putting this together, do you know much about that or how that came about?
Well, Uncle Robert, of course, being a native Hawaiian, he has all the connection, you know, and traditional knowledge of Hawaii and Hawaiian tradition and stuff. So like we have our, when he said he wanted to do it, we have a resident expert in how to do that, you know, the right protocol and chanting to be done and blessing ceremonies and all. And we will be on Friday at 4 o'clock. We have Uncle Kimo, who's a Hawaiian practitioner in those kinds of rites and services, is going to be doing a really pretty complex ceremony to bless the land, to purify the land, to bless and purify everybody who's there so that the proper intent and, you know, our invitation goes out there with a pure heart so that, you know, the right aliens, I guess, would come and visit if they were going to come, or at least the right energy about what we're doing gets out to the world. So, and then after that, we have, you know, some women that do some chanting and crystal bowl, you know, vibrational sound tonal stuff. They're going to do some sound toning to kind of bring the group of people into the same mind and the same heart, again, to focus that everyone's intent is pure and loving. And then after that, Michael Sala and Jasana are going to do a little talk on what they know and have felt about this particular site. So it should be pretty interesting for everyone. And then after that, we're going to have a community dinner, potluck dinner out there. They'll have some at Uncle's Ava Club. And I don't know if you know, but Ava is a traditional drink in Hawaii. It's non-alcoholic. It has a kind of a calming, soothing, muscle-relaxing sort of effect on your body and yet leaves your mind really clear and really open to conversation. And it's used in a lot of, ho'oponopono sessions and things like that where people have conflict that they need to resolve. So, in fact, a lot of people say Ava came from the aliens, as a matter of fact. It was one of the gifts they brought to Earth.
Well,
so
nice.
Anyway, after that ceremony, we'll be having dinner with everyone. And then we're having a presentation from four noted Hawaiians, two women and two men who are going to talk about the current state of affairs in Hawaii with regards to the independence movement, sustainability, what it would be like to do business in a government run by Hawaiians instead of by America. And they'll be talking for an hour or so, and then they'll be having like an open panel to answer questions from the public of anything that they might have to talk about too.
Yeah, I was very much involved in the GMO program over there and had a lot of people on my show. And I actually did the march over on Maui while I was there, you know, with the GMOs. And I think this all ties together, you know, the sovereignty movement, became the GMOs out of there and actually, you know, connecting with the higher consciousness of the Star Nations. It seems to all fit together really well.
Yeah, well, and the star visitor thing is just kind of part of a vision. For one thing, it's something that we have, you know, the right to do. But really more important is bringing Hawaii back into control of the Hawaiians. You know, America hasn't been a very good steward of Hawaii. And you can see by the pollution and the depleted uranium up at Pohakaloa and, you know, some military things that have been questionable over the years, as well as just infusing the population with too many Americans. You know, not to say that Americans are bad, but we're overpopulated here, and because it's such a beautiful place right now, we have quite a few people coming in just, you know, that maybe don't have a job or something, so they decided that Hawaii would be a place just to come and hang out. And American population is actually causing a problem in our local healthcare systems and that, you know, taking services away from people who really need them here. So, you know, most of the growth that's happened here because of America is not really positive for the land of Hawaii or for Hawaiians. So we just feel like now's the time for Hawaiians to stand up, you know, take the responsibility of running their country again. And like I said, this star visitor thing, it's just kind of one of the things that Hawaiians are able to do if they choose to.
Well, you know, America hasn't done too good of a job with America either. So, you know, it's like it seems, or any other country they put their feet in on, you know, it seems to be a create a big mess. But, we've definitely, you know, here forgotten the aloha spirit and forgotten our connection to the land and the ancestors, and all that stuff has been, you know, pushed to the wayside. you know, just for corporate greed, basically, seems to be the governing factor of today's program. But I don't think that's going to be lasting too much longer. I think that's all. It's not sustainable, you know. It's going to like fold in on itself and implode here pretty quick. But yeah, that'd be great on Hawaii. You know, the one thing about it's interesting though. I kind of feel more about consciousness, you know, than color. Or, you know, the Native Americans all talk about the Star Nations, you know, the rainbow tribes coming together and the people of the right consciousness that really care for each other and care for the land. And you know, and they have sayings, you know, they talk about how when the white man returns, you know, if he comes with the cross with a circle, you know, welcome as a brother. If he comes with the cross without the circle, you know, we're screwed, you know, and that's what happened, you know, when the white man returned, he came back with the cross without the circle, you know, and a Bible in one hand, a sword in the other, and he forgot the sacred circle of life, and so things kind of went downhill after that. But I'm really hoping as everybody ends up, you know, going through this shift and waking up and realizing that, you know, we can't keep working and playing the separation game. We have to get back into unity consciousness, which includes, you know, a deep respect for the land.
The unified consciousness, that's what we're looking for. That's what we want to, you know, project out into the atmosphere, into the universe, you know.
Yeah.
Go
ahead.
It's all to do with intent, I would say. You know, if we intend to do something wholeheartedly, and you know, we got the unified consciousness, you know, that the power of that's almost like the power of prayer, I guess. So you can feel, they can feel the intent, and that's the basics of what we're doing, what we're looking for, what we're looking to achieve.
Yeah, it's from my understanding, you know, basically it takes pure intent, you know, an open mind, a loving heart, if you are going to connect with these, you know, spiritually and technologically advanced beings. And we have to rise to the occasion if we are going to be interfacing with these beings. So that means kind of like, you know, the absence of ego and trying to control or drop the aggression, you know, and all the other nonsense and the fear especially that comes with it. But, you know, once we get that together, get the consciousness together and get a group consciousness that's on the same page, then they come. I notice here, people come just to see, because we have UFOs every night flying over the ranch here, and they stay high. But if we have a good, solid group that's done their homework and we have a real cohesive group that is operating from pure intent, open mind, loving heart, that we get, you know, treetop level flyovers and we actually start having contact, and it's more of a telepathic or an energetic contact. And I know they would love to come down and land and walk among us, but as a race, we're way too aggressive. And unfortunately, if they get that close here, we have black helicopters and military and all the other problems that come with that, with close contact.
Yeah, we'll probably run into the same situation and the same problems, the same black helicopters.
Yeah.
I see them all the time. I'm usually after myself. But they won't hesitate. The black helicopters, they won't hesitate to waste more fuel and come and harass more people.
Yeah, we have that same thing going on here. We have a lot of black helicopters. They have, you know, their toys, their psychotronics, and their monitoring systems and everything else on them. But I really think that you can spiritually override that. And the more we get in touch with who we are and our spiritual essence, basically we can kind of bypass a lot of that nonsense.
And it's bound to happen with the right intent.
Yeah.
Going out.
Well, how do you, I'm sure you have a lot of visionaries, you know, and seers and things like that. I'm just curious if they've shared stories on as far as what they see coming up in the near future. You know, do they see us, you know, finally aligning with this unity consciousness way of coming in and people actually finally getting together, or did they see massive earth changes? Or I'm just curious if you've had any stories about kind of what they see on the future.
Well, nothing in particular, although since we've, you know, started this process of dedicating this landing sanctuary site, you know, you get lots of calls and emails from people, and we try and screen them, you know, to the serious ones. And we have had groups of people who, you know, channel ascended masters or are incarnates here on Earth from different planets and stuff. And they've been really supportive to what we're doing and have suggested, in fact, that this isn't a test, that recently on the planet, the kind of the moratorium against positive ET interaction on Earth has been lifted, where for years now only negative ETs have been able to interact with humans. And like I said, just I think three nights ago, I got a message through email of someone that channeled a message to me saying that they were indeed coming, and to treat this as if it's real, not as if it's you know, something that might be happening, something that actually will be happening, and sooner rather than later. So, I mean, that kind of, you know, makes you think a little bit, because, I mean, we're being open-minded and doing something that's interesting and fun, you know, at the same time. And I would be really interested to think that this is actually something that, that might occur here. But anyway, they're saying they're coming for sure here. They expect this to be the first site for open contact on Earth, and that other communities and neighborhoods should watch what we're doing here in Hawaii and set up the same kind of thing so that they could have their own contact, and that eventually communities all over the world will have these little kind of, you know, sort of neighborhood sanctuary sites where they could have contact, whether that contact is, you know, shaking hands and sharing food, or whether that contact is, you know, telepathic. I mean, we don't have that information. I think it's going to be interesting just to see how it unfolds, though.
Yeah, definitely. I'm sure you're going to have some flybys, you know, for your dedication ceremony there. You'll probably have some in the evening, have some nice power-ups and some flybys and a few other things going on to in support, because I know whenever you get a group gathered, you know, with the right intent and you're focused on them, you're putting your attention on them, they will, you know, decloak and power their shifts up and let you see them. So I have a really good feeling about it. You're not going to go home empty, you know, after that ceremony.
Yeah. Well, it's interesting, too, because, I mean, well, I live close enough to the site that if something's happening down there, I'll see it from my, you know, well, I have a treehouse that I live in. Part of my house is in a tree, and I can see down to that lava field from where I'm at. And Michael Sala, in fact, has recently relocated right to the one edge of that lava field that we're talking about, that 500 acres. So from his lanai, in fact, from his office on his lanai, he can see that site. So if anything happens, he'll be one of the first ones to know. He's kind of on one side of the lava flow looking toward the site, and Uncle Robert is on the other side of the lava flow looking toward the site.
Yeah, that's right. Does Uncle Robert ever do interviews, or does he pretty much keep to himself? Or?
Well, he does do interviews, and there is a really excellent interview of him on Michael Sala's Exopolitics site. And also, Michael set up a website for the Hawaii Star Visitor Sanctuary. It's hawaiistarvisitorsanctuary.org that he's posting things on for right now, that we expect, if this thing grows into something that needs it, that we'll use that site to post information about what's happening and stuff. But right now, it's just a, you know, small site. But there's four or five interviews on there from Uncle Robert. Michael has an interview on there. Well, Michael Sala has an interview. Michael Weeks here with me has an interview there. Uncle Robert has an interview on it, and I have an interview on it for now. And we will be posting a video of the ceremony that we're doing. In fact, we have some kind of local inventor guys here that have been working with some pretty high-tech helicopter drones that they've got GoPro cameras on. And they're going to be flying those over the ceremony and taking video from the air, too. So kind of, you know, what it would look like if you were in a UFO looking down. And hopefully we'll do some fun things with that video. You know, we don't have any specific plans. But this is all about having fun and being open-minded and kind of seeing what happens, you know.
Yeah.
And I think we're going to have some fun, you know. So. Anyway.
Definitely.
For whatever that's worth.
Well, basically, the fun is what draws them. You know, when people are in their joy and having fun with the right intent, it's definitely going to draw, you know, the right consciousness there and, you know, the right kind of beings. We always say the mind in which you seek is the mind in which you connect. So, you know, if people have a lot of fear and religious programming and things like that, that's kind of the energies they're going to draw to them, you know. But if they go there, as we said earlier, with an open mind and a loving heart and pure intent and are having fun, you know, and make a party out of it, you know, they'll probably join you. They'll probably, like, at least do a flyover.
Right.
But so are you going to have cameras there probably in case one does fly over? Are you going to probably have the equipment there to film them?
Well, we don't have anyone like, you know, heavy professional people out there. Although,
yeah.
You know, I'd be surprised if the local press doesn't come out and cover it. And, you know, everybody's got an iPhone these days.
Yeah.
And we do, like I said, have the guys with the drones going to take some footage from that. And we have a woman, Carrie Marks, who's with Aloha Hilo, that's done quite a bit. Actually, she's running for county council. I don't want to necessarily put a push for her, but she's filmed lots of events for us. And so she's going to have her crew there filming things. But, you know, kind of little low-tech, you know, high-definition handheld cameras, stuff like that. So we'll have a lot of like casual footage. But we don't have any, like, heavy professionals going to be monitoring the thing, at least not that we know of, not officially.
You don't know anybody with some third-gen military night vision or something of that nature you could rig up to a camera?
Well, we haven't asked anyone yet, but, you know, the word gets out there. We could expect anything to show up out there.
Could you send us
I'll
one?
I'll bet you will. I'll bet you. What's that?
Could you send us one?
Yeah. Oh, when you're doing it, I might bring it. I have it here. When's the ceremony?
The ceremony is Friday, tomorrow, the 27th, at 4 o'clock.
Yeah, so I won't be
Which
able to
is
make
really,
that
you know, good. It's, you know, warm time of the afternoon. Sun's just going down. There should be a really nice cool breeze on the lava, so it won't be uncomfortably hot, but it should be a nice warm day, you know. You know, shorts and a T-shirt and slippers would be the perfect attire to wear. Our Hawaiian people doing the ceremony would be wearing some traditional Hawaiian, I don't want to say outfits, but traditional Hawaiian clothes, as it, you know, because it is an actual, you know, there's a protocol to this event. It's not just someone out there, you know, banging a drum or something. We'll be following exact protocol.
It sounds like an amazing event. I wish, I don't know if you're going to do anything in November, because I'm going to be coming out there in November. I'll definitely be in Maui. I might stop in on the Big Island. But, what we do here is we have some really nice gear here. We have military night vision, and we've hooked it up into a really nice Sony camcorder so we can film anything, you know, that comes around. Even the other dimensional stuff, we seem to pick that up really well with the gear. But, hopefully it'll evolve to that. You know, I know that the movie industry has the best stuff. I mean, they've got these huge night vision scopes you just screw right into the front of the cameras. But, you know, you're talking about $6,000 or $7,000 for that, you know, for something like that minimum, you know, to get something that really works. You know, but I don't think you're going to need that. I think they're going to come in nice and low and for everybody to see and, you know, probably light up the sky, do a few power-ups and, you know, who knows? You know, they might even come lower. I know when we do ceremony here, especially if we do a sweat lodge, a lot of times the group is very, very clear, you know, and very cohesive. And we come out of the lodge and the ships come in and they're treetop level and they're massive, you know, these massive light ships come over. But we've had that happen quite a bit. So I'm sure, you know, with that much juice you got going there, you know, especially the spiritual people coming to the event, you're definitely going to draw something.
Well, I would hope we were that lucky. I'll sure hope we're that lucky.
Yeah. Probably probably have a couple black helicopters come along with it, too. But that's what happens here. When we have the really low sightings, next thing you know, we have a jet, you know, a military jet here, or a black helicopter, you know, like traveling the same, exact same course. You know, we're on intercept course with it. But, you know, I think that's going to end. I know if you go and talk to other countries, especially if you go to, you know, the South American countries and things like that, and you ask them about the, you say, well, how come you guys are having all the sightings and landings over there and contacts? And the first thing they say is, well, we don't shoot at them. You know.
Yeah, there you go. That's a good start.
Yeah. So, you know, I think we need to, I know Michael Saul has been working a lot on that, you know, to get a military stand down, you know, with the off-worlders, you know, and to create some kind of a diplomacy program going, and you know, hopefully with enough people there and the right people there, and you get the group collective behind it, you know, that can be set up so they can actually come and land, you know, and exchange consciousness and information and technology and whatever else they have to offer.
We're looking forward to that.
That's what we're waiting for. That's what we're hoping for. That's what we're building to.
Yeah, I wonder, so the accommodations there at that center, is it just going to be basically, are you going to have information about the Star Nations there, or have footage or photos or?
Well, as of right now, we're going to put our declaration out there, you know, that we're dedicating this site and, you know, specifically what it's for. I don't know if you've seen that declaration. It's on Michael Saul's site if you'd like to read it.
And I have. I might have helped write it a long time ago. If it's the same one, I'm not sure, but I'll have to look at it. But I know we had a meeting there a long time ago, when I came to the conference, and a whole lot of us gathered together and helped put this declaration together. And I don't know if it's the same one, but I definitely will read it. We're having some crazy problems here with our, because we have a conference going right now, and all of a sudden, you know, lo and behold, our phones aren't working and our internet's gone down, and all these other things have happened. But it's kind of par for the course, so I haven't been able to get to it to read it.
Well, we actually have a copy of it here. It's not too long. Would you like Michael to read it, perhaps?
That'd be great.
Okay. Here we go.
Okay, here we go. Declaration for a Star Visitor Sanctuary. Declaration for a Hawaii Star Visitor Sanctuary. In recognition that on March 13, 1999, the Kanaka Maoli, a.k.a. Native Hawaiian people, reinstated the provisional offices of the former government of the Kingdom of Hawaii. This action was implemented in accordance to international law principles and protocols and Hawaiian Kingdom laws. On November 6, 1999, an island-wide election was conducted to elect individuals to serve in the Hawaiian Kingdom legislature that consists of 24 seats of the House of Nobles and 24 seats in the House of Representatives. These elected officials were no longer self-proclaimed, but elected to office. Recognizing that these newly elected officials immediately called for a constitutional convention to exercise their authority to create and establish laws. On March 29, 2000, the amended Constitution of Hawaii 2000 was enacted. Since then, our government has legislated laws to reestablish the proper departments to serve as the proper authority for this nation and to assist the government operations and functions of the lawful Hawaiian government. In recognition that on August 31st, 2003, the reinstated Hawaiian Kingdom publicly published its formal notice of initiating the transition of political authority and jurisdiction from the United States. Recognizing that the existing state law of Hawaii, Act 195, signed by Governor Abercrombie on July 2011, states, the Native Hawaiian people are hereby recognized as the only indigenous Aboriginal Kanaka Maoli people of Hawaii. This state law acknowledges that the United Nations Declaration of the Rights of Indigenous People, particularly Article 3, quote, Indigenous peoples have the right to self-determination. By virtue of that right, they freely determine their political status and freely pursue their economic, social, and cultural development, unquote. In recognition that on May 16, 1854, His Majesty King Kamehameha III formally proclaimed the Hawaiian Kingdom as a neutral state which formally participated in the development of the international law of neutrality that was negotiated among the family of nations. Recognizing that Hawaiian tradition recognizes Nahuihui o Makali'i, or in other words, the constellation of the Pleiades, or the Seven Sisters, as the place from which, according to legend, the first Hawaiian people came to Earth. In recognition that newly created lava flow land at Kalapana Kaimu on Moku'okeawe falls under the sovereignty and jurisdiction of the lawful Hawaiian government, we, the undersigned, representatives do solemnly declare the creation of a Hawaii star visitor, benevolent extraterrestrial life form sanctuary where, number one, star visitors are invited to fly over and land at a location to be designated and consecrated as the Hawaii Star Visitor Sanctuary. Number two, star visitors are invited to meet with representatives of the Hawaiian government to formally establish diplomatic relations between star visitors and Hawaiian nationals in accord with principles of neutrality. Number three, star visitors, after the establishment of diplomatic relations with the Hawaiian government, are invited to meet with private citizens interested in establishing cultural, educational, and scientific relations with the visitors. And number four, star visitor technology can be safely demonstrated, understood, and developed for the benefit of all humanity, marine and animal life, and planet Earth. So that was the whole of the declaration for a star visitor sanctuary, and undersigned, of course, by a couple of the Kingdom of Hawaii, Moku'okeawe representatives, elected representatives. So, you know, it goes to talk about how we reestablished our kingdom government and how we went back into our history and, you know, bring forth the teachings as not legends and myths, but actual things that happened to our people, happened in our history. So going to be very interesting. I hope they don't mind flying over during the afternoon daylight hours, because but I have about 150 cameras on them. That'll be nice. That'll be nice.
Yeah. Who knows? I don't know. I've had contact with him for some time. Maybe I can ask him and give you a heads up, but I don't think I'll have time.
Maybe they can come and drop you off, swing by and participate.
That'd be great. Yeah, it's pretty interesting. We've had, actually, I'm going to show that tomorrow. I'm going to show footage of the, paranormal state came out here and Danny Dyer did a special out here, and we've had ABC and Fox News, everybody out here, and we tell them exactly when and where the ships are going to appear, and they have their cameras running, and they do, and they get them on film. And so it really messes with their heads, because they go, how'd you know that? And I said, because contact already happened, And I said, the planet, I said, it's not about when are they coming. They've always been here. It's about who's trying to contact them, and we have to rise to the occasion, and they find us. But it sounds like your group there is moving in that direction, so I'm sure that they'll participate in it, and be part of the ceremony.
Yeah, sounds like we just gotta take notes and take cues from you folks who's been doing it for a long time. And
well, I think you guys
took the proper steps thus far. So
yeah,
be taking notes and watching your direction.
Well, I think we need to take notes from the Aloha spirit, you know, because that's the program right there, is to you get into that Aloha spirit, you know, and think of the what is it, the Keke and the Aina, and put them as first priority, and remember the ancestors, and things are going to be happening. But it looks like we're coming up to the end of the hour. So what's the best way for people to get in contact with you if they want to find out more about the center and support the ongoing programs there?
Well, we'll try and keep everything posted on that website I said, HawaiiStarVisitorsSanctuary.org. Michael Sala has set that site up, and, you know, basically just because we want to cover all our bases. But we will be posting everything we have on that site. So anyway, that should be a good connection.
Yeah. Is there a way that people can assist you? You know, I'm sure you're going to need some funds for building materials and things like that if you are going to create an actual visitor center.
Yeah. Well, Michael said that he has, you know, all his whatever nonprofit status and stuff that goes along with America's system, you know, to take funds and all that. The Hawaiian government doesn't work with funds from America, but this isn't technically a Hawaiian government event. It's kind of, you know, now it's kind of One Noble's event that's been kind of approved by the Hawaiian government. We'll have a way for people to donate and participate as things go forward. We're just starting now, though, so we'll see how it unfolds. But we're certainly open to having things come together any way that they could. It would be nice at some point soon to build maybe a traditional Hawaiian holly out there, you know, to get out of the sun.
Yeah.
Some place to have food would be nice, you know, because Hawaiians like to share food and dance and music. So if we had something out there on the land that could make it more comfortable for that, that would be nice. And like you said, those things cost money. So it'd be nice if the public wanted to contribute because, you know, it would be a public place. So it makes sense that the public would participate in putting it together.
Yeah. No, it sounds like a great idea. We're running up to the end of the hour right now, so unfortunately we've got to sign off. But I can't thank you enough for the work you're doing and coming on the show. And keep up the great work and keep the Aloha spirit flowing, and I'm sure you're going to be successful. And after the event, send me an email because I'm really curious as to, you know, who shows up and if anybody gets some good footage of it.
Okay, yeah, we'll send you whatever comes up.
Thanks a lot.
Awesome. Hey, well, thank you so much for coming on the show, and Aloha, have a great day.